she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my bienvenidos al Saturday Morning Test Drive. Day Autoflex Leasing. I'm fresh off a trip to Mexico. I came back speaking Spanish. Spanglish, really, because I'm not very good at Spanish, even though I'm half Mexicana. Welcome. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
A.K.A. David. Tammy Pickard.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah, there you go. How do you say Tammy in Spanish?
Tammy.
Perfect.
It's pretty complicated.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hello. Phone number here to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, according to where you're calling from, or 888-234-1234 if you're calling from way away.
En español, por favor. I know, me too. I'd have to write it all down and think about it. Although, for some reason, when I'm down in Mexico, like, the more cerveza I drink, the better my Spanish gets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I think it
I
sounds
think
it good.
It sounds better. Yeah.
I'm going to be using my Google Translator here.
There you go.
That's how I'll do it.
Lots of good stuff coming up on the show today. In fact, the new Corvette, we're going to get into that later on. But first, let's talk about death-free highways.
Well, you know, everybody thinks about that you need to be safer on the road all the time. Everybody wants to be the safest they can be. Everybody wants their family to be safe. And a strange thing is happening over time. Cars are getting safer and safer and safer. In fact, there by 2020 or so, there are some cars, they say, that no one will be killed or seriously injured in because of the additional safety equipment that we're seeing added to the cars. You know, I think it was 1977 was the worst year for deaths. It was around 74,000 at that time. We're down to 30,000 American deaths on the road each year, which is a huge improvement, but there's also a lot of workroom in there. The new study coming out by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, which will come out this next month, is going to show a record number of non-deaths and injuries coming from 2009 to 2012, the latest period of time that they're measuring. And it's really sort of, it's a result of a couple of things. It's a result of passive safety because cars are designed to take impact better without passing that force onto the cabin where the passengers are. And there's a number of different safety additions being made to cars, everything from electronic skid control to automatic braking to radar lane avoidance, visual lane avoidance and mechanical lane avoidance engineering to just infrared vision for night vision. There's so many different things that are being added to cars now that people are actually safer than they ever have been. Volvo is in the lead of this right now, and they're the ones that are saying that by 2020, they think they'll have cars that will go a year with people driving and with no one being seriously injured or killed in the car.
That would be fantastic. I actually heard an interesting take over the week that somebody said now that cars are safer, it's making people worse drivers because they don't have to do as much.
I don't know. I think texting and that kind of thing is making people worse drivers.
Speaking of texting, can I just add a little something? I'm going to tell on myself.
Can I stop
Uh-oh.
You? No,
yeah,
I can't.
So I wasn't texting, but I was talking on the phone. I was in a pretty involved conversation, therefore turns out my brain was not on driving.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it wasn't during peak traffic hours. And I was watching the other cars. And the thing is, I came almost to a complete stop at a green light.
Whoops.
And because I was watching the left-hand turn lane people who had all stopped.
Ah.
Because my brain was on this conversation. So I'm telling on myself just to remind everybody, your brain is not on driving if you're having a conversation. It's just not.
Even when you're using hands-free.
I was Bluetoothing,
mm-hmm.
But I was involved in the conversation, and I came and I was like, what? That's green.
Well, we talked about that study before, that people, like you just said, their brains aren't focused, and that's how you miss your exit when you're on the phone sometimes, because you're not paying attention. So even if you're hands-free, you're not brain-free.
Yeah, and I didn't come to a screeching halt. I slowly slowed down because I was watching these other cars that had come to a stop, assuming all lanes had stopped. Thank goodness I wasn't watching the go people,
the people that were
going, maybe whenever I'm in the left-hand turn lane, and I would have run a light. So back to safety. Would my car have stopped me in 2020 from doing that?
It probably would have. We're gonna cover it later in the show, but the connected car is the next big thing. And that's where everyone's cars will speak to each other, and your car will know that a car is coming in cross traffic and shows no sign of slowing down. If it's not decelerating at a certain rate, your car is going to start slowing down because it's going to recognize that.
I need a car that recognizes my light's green and I should continue to go.
Or worse than that, the turn lane goes first, right?
I know.
And you catch them out of the corner of your eye and you think you can go.
I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
Good way to die.
That's what I'm saying. I'm really lucky it wasn't the opposite.
Right.
And I'm also lucky somebody wasn't behind me and they just rammed into the back of me.
Yeah.
So
if your car alerts you to keep going, would the other person's car alert them to stop?
Yes.
The cars will talk?
Yeah, the two cars will talk. And it will. Somebody's going to have a green light. Your car's going to know it, because it's going to be wired to everything, and it will know which should stop and which shouldn't and that kind of thing.
Wow.
There's already automatic braking in cars. There's several cars out there right now that if you're approaching too quickly, especially a fixed car in front of you, a stopped car, it will slam your brakes on. The first car I recall that being on was the Infiniti JX, and they had it for rear backing out because, you know, mm-hmm. people zip by you in parking lots and stuff when you're backing out.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine was driving his, and he said it scared him to death because it literally locked up the brakes as he was backing up. But it kept him from hitting someone that he couldn't see because he had two big SUVs on either side of him.
Mm. I need that in my car.
We could all use that. And then the frontal collision avoidance, that saved a fellow that I worked with. He was driving, trying to get onto the highway. So he's looking back, watching the lane. The lady in front of him that was also getting on the highway comes to a stop.
Oh.
His car stopped.
Yeah.
But he, without his help, you know, it started to.
Yeah.
Or I think it first started beeping like crazy, and then he slammed on the brakes. That's what happened.
But the first time that happens, you're going, what is this beeping?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well, it
beeps before it says, you're stopping now. Yeah. The car-to-car communication has been going on for a couple of years now. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, they chose Ann Arbor, Michigan because U of Michigan's up there, and they've got a big traffic safety school there. And they chose them to be the guinea pig, the beta test of the car-to-car technology. And they've been running cars with car-to-car technology up there for about the last 2 years. And the technology they've added up there is the basic my car sees your car sees my car can tell how fast your car is going and vice versa. And it costs about $350 a car to add that current technology. There's a lot of unknowns involved in this, who's going to control what, which systems will be used. But they have found that even dissimilar cars, Fords, Chevrolets, Cadillacs, Hondas, can all communicate with each other on the same radio wavelengths, and they can all avoid collisions in the same way. They call it V2V technology, and it warns you if you don't have enough time to make a left turn in front of the guy that's coming at you. It warns you if you're coming up to an intersection and the guy is maybe on your right or left. Maybe you can't see him because of a tree or something like that, and it lets you know he's there. So it's interesting stuff. They're talking about making this mandatory by 2020, the federal government is, for all vehicles. And they're talking about also it saving thousands and thousands of lives and millions of dollars in collision costs.
Go ahead. No, you.
I was going to say it's interesting that the manufacturers are able to connect with each other. You would think it might be like, you know, the way you can only plug an Apple into an Apple and things like that, you would think it would only be exclusive, but that's neat that it's not.
Well, the reason you can only plug an Apple into an Apple is by design.
Yeah, so you have to buy more Apple
exactly.
products.
Exactly.
But the whole thing with this is they want all the vehicles to be able to communicate with each other. What concerns me is, of course, the older cars, the people who don't retrofit or upgrade or whatever, they're not going to have this technology. So, I mean, it'll be 100 years before right. all the vehicles.
But if it's mandatory... Yeah,
probably not 100 years, but it's going to be mandatory on all the cars, they say, by 2020. Right now, we've got 8 manufacturers working to make that happen. You've got Ford and GM, Honda, Hyundai, Mercedes, Nissan, Toyota, and Volkswagen. And they are all working on the V2V technology along with the government on a program that they call Crash Avoidance Metrics Partnership. And the way they name these is so that they come out to a really neat anagram. So it's CAMP, C-A-M-P, yeah. So
Campy.
Campy.
One of the things I thought was also smart, that the NHTSA says they plan to put out a solicitation asking if any private entities have any interest in running this. Because you're going to have this communication network.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of their smartest things, is not to keep it within the government. Put it out there to the independents, because that's who's really going to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to read some interesting stuff about how government works and how government works with industry, read about who they're looking at to award some of this stuff to, because there's a lot of interplay between the government and between industry on this. And this is going to be a multi-zillion dollar deal. So
get your bid in now.
And you mentioned, Tammy, that the cars that haven't upgraded won't be able to communicate. What about imports and things like that? We've done the story how we send so many cars to Mexico. How are those all going to connect?
Well, you know, that's one of the that's one of the things that everybody's considering, because it's not going to be that bad to add a few $100 or maybe even $1,000 to cars that we sell here that provide tremendous safety benefits, because people will pay it. But if you're in the third world countries, in fact, the two largest third world countries that have a lot of collision deaths are India and China, and you don't have the same metrics over there. You don't have the same dynamics. People can't afford the additional cost on the car. But the more they build, the cheaper they get.
Sounds like they can't afford not to.
Well, the more they build, the cheaper they get. And so
That's true.
In a short time, the cost will come down, and third world countries will be able to afford those type of things, given that we're not a third world country by then.
That's right.
Oh.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio. Maybe you have a question. You want to give us a call. You're doing a little car shopping today, going back and forth between a couple of rides, and you need some expert advice. 877-881-1053 is the number, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. A little bit about AutoFlex.com. You can go to AutoFlex.com and see all our great pre-owned cars. You can see our Save Money Monday cars. We'll talk about them a little bit. And you can learn a whole lot about leasing. One of the really nice things about AutoFlex.com is it's not just we want to lease you a car, we want to sell you a car. You can actually learn about leasing, learn about why it might or might not work for you. You can build any car you might consider building. You know, a lot of kids come online and just build cars, by the way, at AutoFlex.com. Because mm-hmm. you can. You can build any car you might. You want to build a Porsche Panamera, by golly, you can do it. You can build any car you want to build right there, get all the equipment, all that stuff down pat. You can schedule a test drive if you'd like to come in and drive a Mazda, a Ford, a Toyota, and a Nissan. We will line them all up side by side for you. You can drive them all in one place at one time. If you'll warn us by setting up that appointment at AutoFlex.com, we'll also put them in the shade and turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
So you will not burn your fingers when you first touch the steering wheel.
Oh, remember those days.
And some cars have, in addition to seat heaters, seat air conditioning, like mine, mm-hmm. which I got from AutoFlex, so you could even turn that on. Have it all nice and chilly. Love it. Getting some AutoFlex Leasing fan texts now at 43733. We talked about how cars are safer now, and this guy says, there's no way in the world I would upgrade. If I'm going to crash, I'm going to do it, not someone else.
Oh, that's great.
He doesn't trust it would always work.
Yeah, that's the American way, yeah. By golly. I'm a self-starter.
Exactly. okay. Let's talk about skipping wheel and tires.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of aftermarket products sold by auto dealers, by AutoFlex, by everyone in the business. One of them that no one should skip is wheel and tire protection.
Yep.
It is very inexpensive, as aftermarket protection goes, And all you have to do is hit one curb, and the policy just paid for itself. If you run over a nail and it hits the sidewall of the tire, the policy pretty well halfway paid for itself right there. If that happens twice in 5 years, again, it paid for itself.
Potholes.
If you bend a wheel and tire, it could be more than the policy cost you. It's not that expensive. Jamie LaRue, who writes for Automotive News, did an article on August the 20th, and it was about her personal experience. And, of course, she lives in Detroit, and the roads up there are just terrible because they have snow and ice every year, lots of potholes. Well, when she went to buy her 2013 Volkswagen Jetta GTI, they offered her wheel and tire, and she goes, no, I'm not going to spend any money on aftermarket.
No snake oil for me, she said.
Well, since then, she's had to replace two tires to the tune of $300, and she's bent a wheel that she's still driving on, because she can.
She says it's safe.
But it's going to need to be replaced.
It's going to chew up a tire if it's a bent wheel. But
okay. All of a sudden, she's going to be out about $850, and that's not really an unusual story.
Plus, you know, her time.
Oh, yeah, plus all the time you spend running around.
Yes.
And then you shop. You have to shop for tires.
You're
you have to shop
for a better deal, better
exactly.
price.
And if you have the insurance, you just take it to the wheel shop, tire shop, and just go, put my tires on. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive. There's two things that you should probably never pass up, and that's gap insurance and wheel and tire. Mm-hmm. Now, an extended warranty, if you lease a car for 3 years and the car is going to be in warranty the whole time,
you don't need it.
If you're going to get a pre-owned car, you should always consider an extended warranty. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people that have called and go, look, the AC just went out on my car and the warranty ended 3 months ago.
Or if you're going to buy a brand new car and keep it, you know, I'm driving the wheels off this one, or this will be my last car.
Right.
Well, get the warranty.
Well, and the other thing is, the thing she ran into, because after she busted up a wheel and tire, she called her buddy at the car deal and said, look, I'd like to buy that insurance. And he said, I'm sorry. You can only sell that at point of sale.
Right. Ooh.
And that's the truth. So if you're in the market for a car, remember wheel and tire protection. It's inexpensive, and it more than likely will pay for itself over the life of the car.
You also said, in addition to that, gap insurance is also important. And for people who don't know what it is, can we refresh?
Oh, me.
Me?
Gap insurance is a policy that will pay the difference off if you owe more than the car is worth, and it's a total loss.
Mm-hmm.
So you're driving down the highway and somebody without that vehicle-to-vehicle technology crashes into you and totals your car, and you didn't put any money down. You even financed the sales tax. Your credit was great, so you rolled everything in, but you over-advanced. Cars depreciate as soon as they're new, and then they turn used. They depreciate. Even used cars, they will depreciate as you keep them. So most loans, you can't pay the loan down as fast as the car depreciates, unfortunately. So you might wind up owing $6,000, $7,000 to pay off the car. If you have the gap insurance, that pays the deficit between ACV, that the insurance company says they'll go out and look at fair market value for the car. So let's say your car is only worth $20,000 now, but you still owe $23,000.
Mm-hmm.
You owe that other $3,000.
Yeah.
Period.
And it can be a lot greater than that.
Oh, for sure.
It can be $8,000 or $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just the dollar figure is terrible, but think about the stress that's suddenly going to bring to your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, then all of a sudden, do you have to get a loan?
And most people that are financing 100% don't have a bunch of cash in the bank anyway. That's why they rolled everything in, because they didn't have the big down payment.
So, right.
So for a few dollars a month in the payment, because most of those policies run anywhere $400 to $800, depends on how much you're financing, right, David?
Yep.
Few dollars a month difference, and you sleep easy, you rest easy. If something does happen, you don't have to worry. You're just out of pocket your deductible like you planned in the first place, or didn't plan even that in the first place, and you're good to go.
Right.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Fantex starting to light up now. Dave, I leased a Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta, rented a Volkswagen Jetta when I needed one the other day. And when the car went over 70 miles per hour, the air conditioning started blowing hot. Is that something they're doing to try to keep people to driving slow? No, it's
I
not.
I love it, though.
That's a pretty smart idea.
Summer.
But it is not. No, that's more than likely a mechanical problem with a car. A car's air conditioner shouldn't cease working or slow down after you go 70 miles an hour. Nothing they planned, I promise you.
Another AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. What's the reliability on a Toyota Tundra 4x4 SR5 or F250 4x4 Lariat? Both are 43,000. Which one is good for 150,000 miles?
Both.
Yeah.
They're both good for 150. If you're going to keep the truck forever, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. If you're going to keep the truck 5 years, 6 years, the Toyota is going to give you a better resale value. They're both great.
But they're both going to just do whatever you need them to do. Yeah. So pick the one you like the best.
If you just do the services on pretty well anything now, pretty well everything runs, it'll run 150,000 miles.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get one with a Gremlin.
Yeah. Now, that means the engine, the transmission, all that stuff's good. Doesn't mean your air conditioner's not going to die at some point. Doesn't mean you won't have a window motor go out. That kind of thing. Back to the extended warranty.
The little persnickety things.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a believer in the extended warranty. I worked, before I ever sold cars or financed cars, I was a warranty administrator. Trust me. I mean, I know that was a long time ago, and they are building cars better, but the more cool stuff they put in there, all the technology and the computers, those also can fail, mm-hmm. and those can run thousands.
Yeah.
So if you get the extended warranty when the car is brand new, it can also be transferred. So let's say you're not sure how long you want to keep the car, but you are going to buy it. And say finance it 4, 5, 6 years, put that warranty on there, because if you sell the car on your own, most of those are transferable to the new owner, which makes it a more valuable vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to trade it in to somebody like us, we'll cancel the warranty. You get a prorated refund back from the warranty company. The majority of the warranty companies do that. Ask before you buy your extended warranty if those two things apply, and don't get one if it doesn't.
Interesting AutoFlex Leasing fan text. I've had three cars with wear and tear warranties. The dealers don't honor the warranties. They say it has to be catastrophic damage. Mm. We don't sell wear and tear warranties at AutoFlex. I don't believe in them. I think, number one, if you just take care of your car, you don't need it. And it doesn't cost a lot to take care of your car. Just making sure that the carpet doesn't get stained. And
clean it up.
You just clean your car up. So I'm not a big proponent of wear and tear warranties, and I'm sorry to hear that story. I've not dealt with them personally, so I don't really know.
I know that one of our lenders offered one direct from them, so if you paid this extra money, then you were just off the hook up to a certain amount when you turned it back in.
But then they had to stop offering that because the fact that they had the ability to charge the customer and then we're selling them insurance to avoid the charge seemed a little bit gamey.
Mm.
So that's why they had to stop selling that.
Ah, how about that? I didn't even know they stopped.
Yeah, we never did.
Because we knew that we could help them get their little things fixed for about the same cost.
Yeah. AutoFlex Leasing fan text, Gap Insurance helped me, and I got $2,000 back on $8,000 worth of damage on an 08 Nissan. You can actually do that. You can make money on Gap Insurance because the insurance policy has to pay you at least the difference. If you end up with a salvage, you can sell it. There's two or three ways you can do that. Mm-hmm. But Gap does work.
And another AutoFlex Leasing fan tech says the same thing. I actually made money with Gap Insurance after my month-old car was stolen.
Which is the other way that Gap works. Sickening. It doesn't have to be a total loss. It can be stolen.
Wow.
Well, okay. Gap works there, too.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David, Tammy, Lane, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. As always, you can and should call AutoFlex. They're open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. If you don't want to pick up the phone, if you're telephonically challenged, you can go to AutoFlex.com and pretty well do everything there that you would do on the telephone. Now, you cannot pick up your new car on the telephone or online. You will have to meet with us at some time.
Right. But the great thing is AutoFlex will bring you the car. If you're at work or if you're at home or whatever you're doing, they'll bring it to you if you need them to.
We've got a bunch more fan texts, so if I might. My wife wants a 2014 or 2015 Lexus 350 four-door IS. Would it be better to buy or lease? We average 10,000 miles to 13,000 miles a year. Mileage-wise, you're a perfect lease customer. How long do you keep a car? If you're going to keep the car 5 years or less, then you should lease it. Mm-hmm. And that car has got a fabulous resale value, so the lease payment is going to be very, very inexpensive. If you're going to keep the car, if you're one of those we're going to drive it till the wheels come off of it, then probably you should purchase the car. I still would look at nothing longer than a 60-month finance, though, because if you, it just becomes a drag to keep financing. And if something changes and you want to change out of the car, if you're in it for 6 or 7 year financing, it takes a lot longer to reach an equity point.
Mm-hmm. We also talked about gap insurance in the last segment. Now lots of people chiming in on AutoFlex Leasing Fantext about how great their gap is. This guy says, I had gap insurance on my 2013 Ford Focus. 6 months after the purchase, a high school kid didn't yield at a light and totaled my car. Mm. Gap saved me $6,000, and now I'll never go without it.
Smart. Yeah, good point. Another AutoFlex Leasing Fantex. Hey, guys, I have gap on all my cars. I swap one of them for a new one, and I also get gap on the new car. Does gap owe me money because I traded my car? No. The only way it works is if your car is stolen or if it's a total loss.
They don't prorate a refund on gap?
They do prorate a refund on gap, but I would think, I mean...
You have to file for that if so.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% confident about that, so you could call your gap insurance company and ask them. I don't know. I kind of feel like once you pay for it, it's gone. It's not like the other types of insurance. Credit life and disability insurance, if you trade that early or if you just decide you don't want it, you can cancel it. They'll prorate the refund. Same thing with most extended service agreements. But you need to ask about gap. That was truly a question from me. I wasn't sure.
Okay, great question here. I know this is probably a stupid question, and they say there are no stupid questions, by the way. But I haven't bought a car in quite some time now. What is a typical down payment? 5, 10, 20%? Typically, people don't pay much down at all
anymore.
Yeah, zero is a normal down.
And that's why you need the gap coverage.
Exactly.
If you put 20% down,
you don't need gap.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably
depends
not.
On what you had to pay for the car, if there was a rebate, if you rolled in taxes. But at least 20% down, you're probably safe, and that saves you the gap coverage.
Here's the thing. There can always be a worst-case scenario. Mm-hmm. You buy the car, and 2 months later, it's stolen. Then, if you didn't have gap, it's like, oh, my golly, I could have had gap for just that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a worst-case scenario, and you may be the lucky one. Think about it.
Just like with the tire and wheel.
Yeah.
You don't think you're going to hit that chug hole or I'm not going to hit a curb.
Right.
Ta-da. I remember when the Chrysler 300s first came out, they were hot. Those cars were so hot. And this was a beautiful pearl white with the creamy leather interior. And we'd upgraded the wheels to these chrome wheels. It wasn't 2 months. They called me and said, well, something happened. Hit the curb. Two wheels destroyed. You know, what can we do? So I sent them to the people I know, but they did not have the tire. They didn't buy the tire and wheel.
Ooh, so then they just had to come out of pocket?
Well, I suggested they file on their insurance since somebody had kind of run them. What their story was somebody had come at them, you know, maybe they weren't paying attention, so they swerved into the curb. And then I would think you could file on your
collision
insurance.
Yeah, it is a collision claim. If you actually run into something with a wheel, it is a collision claim. Now, it's according to what your deductible is as to whether or not it pays. But it is a collision claim.
You're definitely going to want gap insurance if you're driving one of these cars because we've got the annual list of the most stolen vehicles.
Right.
Well, and you have to sort of go back in time when you look at this because the most stolen vehicles are older cars. And here's why. Older cars didn't have the same kind of keys that new cars have. In fact, if it's before a 97, it's pretty easy to steal. If it was built after 97, not so much.
Oh.
The most stolen car last year was a 1994 Honda Accord. Why? Well, one thing, they run forever.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
They're still on the street. The car that was right behind it, Honda Civic. Again, same thing. If you looked at the list of most stolen cars, there are five vehicles. They are among the five vehicles that are stolen the most every year. Interestingly enough, if you look in Texas, the most stolen vehicles are?
Trucks.
Pickup trucks, you bet. Because we sell more pickups in Texas than anywhere else. If you look at the total of the top stolen cars, the top 10, they look sort of like this. Chevrolet Silverado, Ford F-Series, Toyota Camry, Dodge Ram, Dodge Caravan, Jeep Cherokee and Grand Cherokee, Toyota Corolla, and Nissan Altima. Now, here, there's a couple of things that people think about or don't think about when they think about a stolen car. The majority of cars that are stolen that are older are stolen for parts. They are stolen because the doors exchanged on 5 years, 6 years cars, the hoods, the deck lids, those are all exchangeable parts. So body shops will buy those parts and put them on other people's cars.
Uh-huh.
That creates a market.
I saw a gold Acura TL, an older one, on the way here that had a maroon deck lid.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Two-tone.
Is that what that's called?
So they, something had happened to that deck lid, but he found a salvage piece. He didn't have it painted yet. But.
Right. I noticed there's no luxury vehicles on the list.
Well, and that's because they're not stolen in large numbers, but that's the next side of the story.
They are stolen.
Luxury vehicles that are stolen to be shipped out of the country in a lot of cases. They either go to Mexico, and that's a tough deal now to get them to Mexico, but if they go, they sometimes go to the East Coast and West Coast, where they are shipped over to the Middle East or to Asia. And those cars go in those shipping boxes, and that is a huge organized business in selling those cars. In fact, auto theft rings come to cities like Dallas with the idea of stealing 20, 30 luxury vehicles by use of false ID, by stealing them any way they can. It's a lot easier to steal them while you buy them than it is to steal them off the street now because of the technology that's built into the car. So they steal them by buying them and using false IDs, fake IDs, that kind of thing. Those cars are shipped. They don't stay here. They're in Florida or they're in Los Angeles or Long Beach, and they're on a boat within 2 or 3 days of being shipped,
like
of being
gone
purchased.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, like gone in 60 seconds. The good news is car thefts are down. They've been down for years now, and they continue to drop. So even though they're down, though, there's still a car stolen every 45 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
The same basic stuff still applies to lock your keys, lock your car, take your keys, use something as an audible warning. So you've
put
got
an alarm
on the car of some sort. Get an immobilizer if your car doesn't have one all right. It doesn't have a smart key already. Install a tracking device. Put a low jack on your car. Mm-hmm. Low jack saves a lot of cars. Here's the other thing. Don't park on the street. Put your car in the garage. It's really hard to steal.
What if it happens when you're
at the movies?
Well,
if it happens at work, it happens at work. But a lot of people park their car either in the driveway or in the street in front of their house, and then it's either broken into or it's stolen. Well, guess what? You're not a victim. You put it there for them. And it's like, here's my car. Okay, please don't steal it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I came out from the movies one night, and the car next to me had their window busted out. And right just at the same time that I came, they showed up too. And she went, oh, my purse. I just wanted to slap her.
Yeah, why'd you leave it in plain
right
view?
Right there.
To be enticing to somebody. My mom taught me that a long time ago. Even just change in the cup holder.
Yep.
People will break in for 60 cents. Mm-hmm. So always make sure you put your iPods away. Phones, expensive sunglasses, wallets, briefcases, computers, anything.
Mm-hmm. Nothing should be visible, not even change. If you leave change in your cup holder, there are people that will break your door glass out for 25 cents.
Yeah.
Because that gives them 25 cents more than they had, and they don't care about your door glass.
You know what I haven't seen in a long time? The club.
Right.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anyone use the club anymore?
Well, because smart keys pretty well made them obsolete, because you really can't steal a car with smart keys. It takes a lot.
Oh.
That's why car thieves now, one of the main ways they get newer cars is by ID theft, because it's really tough to steal a newer car.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, AutoFlex Leasing Fantex asks an interesting question. With technology the way it is, if a new car's stolen, then it should be on the manufacturer's warranty. They can make cars talk to each other but can't keep them from getting stolen?
Well, you know, if you do an auto check or a Carfax report on a car that you're looking at purchasing, sometimes a stolen car report will be in there. If it involved an insurance claim, it will be in there. Another AutoFlex leasing fan text. I know this is a stupid question, but I'm sorry. I'm a smoker. Bad habit, I know. But what are the rules on smoking in a lease car?
Interesting question.
It is. It's a good question.
There aren't, as far as I know.
No, I think, here's the thing.
One bank tried to put a...
we had a bank that tried to do that. It didn't work
well. They said if you are a smoker, you were going to lower your residual value 2 points.
Oh, wow.
Because when you get it back, you have to go through all this cleaning mm-hmm. and spend all this money to refurbish or to get the car back to where you or I would be interested in purchasing it.
Here's what I will say. If you burn the interior of the car, then you're going to be charged for that.
Right.
So yeah. If it has burn holes where your cigarette has touched the headliner or left a burn hole in the seat, then you'll certainly be charged for that. You can get smoke smell out of a car a couple of different ways. They sell some little chemical kits that you can buy online that you add water to. That will eliminate smoke smell. Sometimes cutting up an apple, if it's not too strong, leaving it in the car for a few days with the windows up, that absorbs it. And if you get an ozone generator, that's what professionals use. You can put an ozone generator in the car. It'll take two or three times, but it will absolutely get all that smoke smell out.
Or like in Grumpy Old Men, have your buddy put some fish back there till it gets warm. And listen, you won't smell the smoke.
Yeah, the lesser of two evils, though, might be the smoke in that situation. 877-881-1053 is the number. Let's check in with Chris in Dallas. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I have a question. I'm trying to buy a little GMC Sonoma. It's a 2000 model. You know, it's just a baseline model, and the old man wants $3,000 for it. You know, it only has, I know it's about a 14-year-old truck, but, you know, it has 82,000 miles on it, and it looks absolutely brand new.
Buy it.
That's a good price on that truck.
I'm sorry?
That's a good price. If it runs and drives and it looks brand new, that's a deal.
It's low mileage.
There's nothing really, like, ever really gone wrong or no big recalls on those little trucks, is there?
You know, I don't know. That's an old truck.
And here's what you can do. You can take the VIN, the vehicle ID number for that vehicle, call any GMC dealer and have them run it to see if there are any open recalls. Another good idea is just to, you know, take it to your regular mechanic and have them just do a once over to make sure everything's good. But the price is good. Trucks hold their value ridiculously well. Doesn't matter how old they get. If they run, I mean, come on, we all see them on the roads. We think, how in the world is that thing going down the road?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they do.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. If you're concerned with recalls, the government has a recall tool online now.
Oh, great.
If you go to www.safercar.gov/VIN lookup, VINLOOKUP. www.safercar.gov/VIN lookup. You can put the VIN to that car in there, and it will tell you if there is a recall on the car and give you the details on the recall.
How about that?
Okay.
Right,
thanks,
thank
Chris. And if you're driving and you weren't able to jot that website down, you can go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook page, and follow along with all the stories we talk about right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053, or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex. What are those numbers, Dave?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area, and autoflex.com. And if you'd like to follow along with the stories we're doing on the air this morning, you can see those at autoflex.com/Facebook at our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. You can also check out the Save Money Monday cars, which are a good deal before they go to auction on Tuesday.
That is correct. Autoflex Leasing fan text. What can I get? Would I be able to get anything for a Lexus ES350 2007 model with 240,000 miles on it? I looked that up on Manheim when we were at break, and auction value on that car shows to be about $6,500. So that's what the car should be worth wholesale. You should, and according to condition, obviously, you should be able to get $1,500 to $2,000 more than that for the car.
If you sell it retail.
Another Autoflex Leasing fan text. Can my current lease be converted to a conventional purchase? I'm going to exceed my mileage within the first year, and I need some advice on what to do.
You know, that is a really, great really question. Good question. Here's the thing. We deal with that a lot. Mm-hmm. People, if you see the ads on TV where you can buy the $30,000 car for $149 a month, those leases are all based on unrealistic mileage.
You drive 15 miles a week.
Yeah. And so people go in and they get all wrapped up and they want that low payment. And so they take that and then they're going to run way over the miles. And then they start looking, well, it's a quarter of a mile. Oh, my God, by the end, it's going to cost me $10,000. We actually have a plan for that. Mm-hmm. We can convert that into a different type of finance for you and take all of the worry out of it. It's not only possible, we do it all the time.
And put the correct mileage in, or yep. we'll review it. Now, I'm going to be on the opposite side of even doing a car deal, but my customers would call me and I'd give them really honest advice, because that's the way you get people to continue to come back to you and to send other friends
right.
to see you. So I had somebody call me that was in a similar situation. They were, you know, driving more miles than they anticipated, had some changes, and thought they may need to trade out of that car and get into something else to do the right miles. The cost of what they were trying to attempt so early in their lease put them way upside down, like 10 grand upside down. So I did a calculation on the mileage they were driving. I said, it would cost you less money to continue driving the way you're driving and pay the mileage penalty at the end than it would be to trade out of the car. Because at the pace they were going, it was maybe going to cost $6,000 versus it cost them $10,000
to trade
right now. And I said, we can take that $6,000 and find the right car later that has the rebates, et cetera, so we can roll that money over if we need to. But you never know if you might have another life change in the next few years
right.
during this lease. So let's wait and see based on, but then keep in touch with me. I think they really appreciated that kind of advice mm-hmm. because I was honestly, we weren't going to be able to accomplish also what they needed to do with that $10,000 upside down. So I looked for, you know, what is our alternative?
And right.
the alternative was it was less if they waited.
Well, and that's the thing. We deal with people every day that are in situations that they desperately think they need to get out of immediately. Sometimes waiting is the best thing. A couple of the other things we hear, they told us we could get out early. They told us it was easy to get out early. Well, it's not. Leases are not designed to be early terminated. The way one pays down doesn't work for that. A lease is designed to be in for the full term. Now, if the market is really good on the car you're driving, that can help. But a lot of the people we talk to have been promised, oh, they'll get us out. It's going to be easy. Well, it's not. And so then they're stuck in a car. And it's not really a bad deal in that they got a new car, but they didn't plan on keeping it for 5 years. They planned on keeping it maybe three. Never lease a car for one moment longer than you plan on keeping the car. Make sure that term on the contract is exactly the right term for you, because that's how long you got to figure you're in the car. The guy telling you that, he's probably not going to be there when you come out.
Right.
Some people will say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And not just politicians. Everybody will. And here's another interesting Autoflex Leasing fan text. You guys are talking about other stuff, but just wanted to say how much I love your company. You made my experience so easy. Keep up the good work. From Courtney. I guess Courtney got a car from us.
Yay!
Thank you, Courtney.
We do try to make it easy. You know, it's not supposed to be a whip.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Love your show. Which car has the biggest vanity mirror for putting on makeup?
Sybil?
Lexi and Rockwall. Lexi's a regular listener.
She is.
We hear from Lexi. I think the back mirrors... If you get an LS460, the mirrors that flip down in the back seat,
uh-huh.
those are pretty big mirrors.
Yeah. Well, they are a good size mirror. Those luxury sedans, it's really nice when they have the mirror for the back seat passenger as well. A lot of trucks have a bigger.
Trucks do have bigger mirrors.
But I say you can go to Chief Auto Parts and you can buy one that you just a really big one that you can attach with the elastic bands to your rearview mirror if it's not big enough.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Does Autoflex do motorcycle leasing? No, we don't.
No.
There's not a lot of advantage to leasing a motorcycle because the cost of the vehicle is just not that much.
Mm-hmm.
So the payments aren't that high, and you can't really save a whole lot of money on a motorcycle lease. You're better off buying one.
Got another Autoflex Leasing fan text. Previous Autoflex customer purchased a pickup, but now thinking of leasing a new Ford Explorer. What would I be looking at price-wise? I've got good credit.
All I need is the FlexLease computer system, and I can tell you, I don't know exactly. Not a bad truck and a good idea to lease it, but give one of our offices a call and just tell them you called into the show or you texted in. They'll be glad to help you, and they can tell you within a few minutes. They'll answer all your questions because they've got the computer system there to do it with.
Yeah, it's all based on the MSRP of the vehicle you're interested in. Then we figure out the discount, what we really have to pay for the car, but residual values are calculated off of MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have a lot of details in order to calculate these leases, but it doesn't take too terribly long once we do, and that is why we can't do it right here.
But since you're calling from the 469, you can call 972-234-1234, and they will help you out. They're open right now if you want to give them a shout.
And you'll generally save at least 30 to 40% from a conventional financing payment on the same terms. So if you're looking at a three-year lease, then you want to look at a three-year purchase payment,
mm-hmm.
and then subtract 30 to 40%, and you'll get an idea.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah.
But it won't be to the penny.
Right.
You know, we teased this at the beginning of the show, and Corvette is coming with the answer for Ferris Bueller's day off treatment of your car when you leave it with a valet. Everyone remembers the famous Ferris Bueller scene where the valet takes the red Ferrari for a bit of a ride, gets it airborne a few times, does a little hook slide in it or two. Well, the new Corvette, the 2015 Corvette, is going to come with a feature that will actually keep an eye on the valet while he drives your car. There's a camera that looks at him and what's going on. When you set the car for valet, it turns off all the infotainment system, so he can't listen to the radio. It tracks where the car has been and will tell you that. You can download it, or when you get back in your car, you can push a button, and you can see everything about what happened to your new Corvette after you handed that valet the keys.
That's awesome.
It locks your glove box. Yeah, it tells you how fast you went.
I thought the camera focused outward.
Oh, like a dash cam?
You can see where it goes, yeah, so you can see if they took it on the highway and went 100 or not.
Mm.
You know, there's a couple of other people that, a couple of other manufacturers that offer this also. Hyundai and Mercedes offer geofencing, which sets a perimeter for how far your car can be driven, and it sends you a notification if they take it beyond that. Chrysler has a valet mode that caps engine speed, and Audi lets the owner limit engine speed for valets.
Mm.
So it's an oncoming thing, evidently. This was originally part of a performance data recorder that they used for people that wanted to take their Corvettes to the track. And then they said, you know, this will do a lot more than that. And it gives you that peace of mind when you hand the valet the keys.
I love that. You just have to warn him beforehand. Like, by the way, you know this is a 2015 Corvette, so I've got my whole...
Don't you think those valets will know that?
Yeah. All of them. I have a car nanny that has... I've got a camera on you, and it's watching your speed and where you go.
Yep.
So be safe. If I were to valet, not a big fan as we come into cold and flu season. I don't want somebody touching my steering wheel, doorknobs, gear shift, all that stuff, who's had their hands in every other person's car, who have their little sick families spreading germs. Just think about that.
Hold on to that until next Saturday. We'll be back at 9 a.m. You can also send us your... call AutoFlex, 817-972-234-1234, or go to AutoFlex.com. We'll see you next weekend. Thank you to Lane for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.